Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You are a healer who makes all things new. That's all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine bright and clear. Thank you, Lord, for just loving us enough to give us breath in our bodies. Thankful, grateful, and blessed as always to be with you this morning and to co-host with the wonderful Mother. Good morning, Mother. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. God is good. He's good.
Yes, he is. That's all. You know what, Mother? I can say that with you. God is, can we say it together? God is good.
God is good.
Good. I had a great day on yesterday, even though I had to get, I call it my adult baby shots. Every 10 years as adults, we should get tetanus shots, just like we did when we were little kids. And so I was at the doctor yesterday for my checkup, and I had to get a shot. I'm like, I felt like a little kid when you're looking at them put that needle in your arm. I said, I am not going to cry. But I thought, oh, my kid again, getting my baby shot. You know, but not understanding that this is a public service announcement. For us, once you get close to that age where you get Medicare, oh, my, it just sounds like so old. But, you know, I earned it. I got another year, but I earned it. They don't cover certain things, and that is one of the shots they do not cover. And my 10 years just happened to be up, praise the Lord, this year. So I was like, Lord, thank you. You know, so I have gotten all those baby shots again, you know, covering you. You know, back in the day, I think it was chicken pox or one of those things we got a shot for. And I remember getting a shot for shingles. I was like, oh, my, I am just feeling old today. But then I thought about it. I'm like, Lord, thank you. You gave me another day because somebody didn't get today. So I felt grateful. And I'd like to report where they had the big accident on Monday. I had to go that way on yesterday to work. The area where I work in did not have any of the accident vehicles on the side of the road. However, when I got into the community, they had trucks and cars and in these two vacant lots, and I saw one truck that was burnt to a crisp. It was very disconcerting. So it was everywhere doing their job. So kudos to the Illinois State Police, who I'm grateful to say take good care of me right now, because my late husband was a state trooper, and I am grateful to be a survivor of a wonderful group of men and women who protect our highways and byways. So they are out there still in full force working with the people that were in these accidents and, you know, making sure they get their vehicles back. And I mean, it's just an act of God. We don't know what God's plans are, but we just say thankful and grateful for those that survived And we're thankful and grateful for those that didn't. And we just pray that they knew Jesus and that they knew the Lord God as their Lord and Savior. So let us get ready to go into our word. And today's word is, what was hidden shall be revealed. And as we all know, in our world today, so many hidden things that folks thought they had gotten away with are starting to come into the light. You know, from bribery and, you know, getting gifts out of here, from rape to, you know, and everything else is all coming out into the light. Understand, God is in charge of everything. And folks thinking they getting away with something that's wrong, you better understand, it's going to come into the light. And it's all starting to, every time you open a newspaper, mother, it's some more hidden stuff being revealed.
Amen.
You know, from the church house to the state house to the White House. Whatever folks think they doing on the slide, you better understand, it will be revealed. Hallelujah. God is in charge. So we're going to get into our word, Father God, again. We thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for your mighty word, God. We thank you that you give us this basic instruction before we leave this earth, God, before your son returns, God. We thank you that you have given us joy in our heart and a praise to speak the name of Jesus, to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being so awesome and wonderful. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for revealing what was hidden, that it is being revealed, that you are the Savior, that you are the Christ, that you are the Son of God. And I am grateful, God, that you have given me faith to know and to believe and to be saved. Saved by his grace, saved by his mercy, saved by his love and kindness. Father God, we lift up this word today as Mother Valerie and I increase, God. We ask you to increase. Lord God, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are our strength. Lord God, are our redeemer. And we lift up the name of Jesus today, thanking you for your son. And as we ask you, and ask him to cover us with his blood. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Thanking God again for his son. Thanking God again for his love. Thanking God for just being who he is, an awesome and mighty God. This morning, I will be coming out of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 10 through 11, verse 15. And Mother Valerie will be coming from the Psalms this morning. Psalm 50, 55th Psalm, verses 16 through 23. Proverbs 15, 18 through 20. And Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 46. So get your Bibles again. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 10 to chapter 11, verse 15. 55th Psalm, verses 16 through 23, Proverbs 15, 18 through 20, and Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 46. And so let's get started, family. And it says this in the Word of God. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, and we're talking the head of Saul. We're going to go back for just a minute to chapter 9. And Samuel was telling Saul that he was chosen to be king. It says in verse 25, when they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, "Get up, that I may send you on your way." And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servants to go on ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here a while that I may announce to you the word of God. And then it says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, it is not because of the Lord. It is not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree at Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen, when you have come there, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these times come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him, and then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied amongst them. And it happened, when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Then a man from there answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him, to his servant, where did you go? So he said, to look for the donkeys. When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, please, what Samuel said to you. So Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the manner of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and your tribulations. And you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had called all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. When he had called the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Mitra was chosen. And Saul said to Kish, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, again, where our title comes from today, is a hidden Saul. What was hidden shall be revealed. He could not be found. Therefore they inquired the Lord, Father, has the man come here yet? And the Lord added, there he is hidden among the equipment. Now you're going to be the king and you hide. Hide. But again, what is hidden will be revealed. And Saul was revealed that he was hiding among the equipment. So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him among all the people." Again, he was called handsome guy, you know, fit the bill of looking like a king. So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went on to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebelled, said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. You know, folks always want, there's somebody in every time and in every group of folks that want to resent your blessings. How did he get to be there? How did he get to be king? He was hiding behind the equipment. You know, I'm sure they was talking about Saul like a dog. You know, understanding, because jealousy is like that. Who is he? Why did he get chosen? Why didn't I get chosen? I'm just as good as him. You know, it's only because he's tall. You know, just creating foolishness, because that's what some people do. And some life lessons from chapter 10 from Dr. Stanley. And again, for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, principles for each day of the year. And as always, I will tell you, this is one of the best Bible as far as study that I have ever had. And we will be using it this year and next year. God revealed to me that we will use it next year as well. And then God will give us something else. But at least for this year, last year, this year, 3 years, God has given us this Bible to use. And then it says this in 1 Samuel 10 and 9, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. It takes the Spirit of the living God to turn us into other men and women, to transform us into the likeness of Christ. But such a transformation is God's will for every one of us. Yet we should still pray that God would give us a heart that loves him and wants to obey him. Only with such a new heart will we be able to live the new life he calls us to. God calls us to new life. God does not leave us stagnant, and he doesn't leave us out there by ourselves. He loves us so much that he wants the best for us, but we got to want the best for ourselves. You know, God is not a God that plays. He doesn't play games. He tells you what you need to do, and what you need to do, that's what you got to do. We got to do what that says the Lord. What God says, what we must do. But I say not what your pastor says, but what does God say? What does God say for you? What does God have for you? Are you trusting in the Lord today? Are you leaning on your own understanding? You know, he says in all your ways, acknowledge him. Not acknowledge Mother Valerie, not acknowledge Minister Bridget or Pastor Bridget, not acknowledge anything. You know, we got to acknowledge God. But I love when we go back to this word, and you know, it says, but we have to be transformed. And when we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but I love the fact, I like the first part. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy to God, which is your reasonable service. But, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, it's not about us. It's about him. And conforming to his will. God does not want us to be left out in the cold, because Jesus comes back. He wants to find us. He wants to hold us. He seeks us as we seek him. I want to as Mother said, I'm ready to fly away. I'll fly away. Glad morning, when this life is over, I will fly away. When the rapture happens, I don't want to be here. I want to have been gone before that and be one of the dead in Christ that rises first. You know, but hey, if I'm still here, when the rapture comes, I want to be able to hold my hands up and praise and know that I'm going. Hallelujah. I want to be like I was when I was a little kid with my uncle. He's going swimming without me. Oh, no, you wasn't. I'm going. And that's how I want to have I'm going with Jesus in my heart. I'm going. Coming back, my arms are lifted high because I'm going. Going with your Lord. You know, we got to have I'm going in our spirit. We don't want to be left behind because I tell you, it won't be pretty because Jesus is coming to do some gardening and he is getting ready to pull the wheat and the tear apart. And when your tares are being pulled out, there may be some wheat going with them into the fire because they was lukewarm, a little here, a little there, one foot in, one foot out. God is speaking to us this morning. The question is, what was hidden will be revealed. What is your heart? Is your heart for God? Are you loving him? Are you trusting him? Are you getting up in the morning, spending time with him? And then I love it. The word that God gave us is, what should I do when I feel the need to act in haste? Ooh, hand up. When I read this, I thought, Dr. Stanley, it's all up in my business. Life questions, and it says, nowhere in Scripture does God tell anyone to rush into a decision. He just doesn't operate that way. Anyone in the financial world knows that success rarely follows a snap decision. Though at times we may need to hear from God quickly, God will never tell us to rush in blindly. We may have to move swiftly, but we can move swiftly in the will of God and still not hurry into a situation. Satan always encourages us to act immediately because he knows if we back off and think long enough, we may reconsider. How many people have made decisions they regretted for the rest of their lives? And we're going to go to the 27th Psalm, verse 14. And when we go over to the 27th Psalm, go down to verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. 62nd Psalm, verse 5 explains, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. And it says, if we feel an overwhelming urge to act spontaneously, we had better pull in the reins. God wants us to get all the details in their proper places. And, you know, that is like you get with a salesman, and they try to talk you real quick into buying something. You need to get this right away. You know, come on. You know, you need to refinance. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, you need to buy. You know, you hear that voice as you're looking around. You just looking. You're not planning on buying anything. And you hear that voice and get them shoes. You know, they're so cute. And you know they will look so cute on you. You need to go on and get those shoes. But you're looking and you know in your finances that you don't have enough cash to get those shoes. So you're like, no, I'm not going to get those shoes. But that voice said, just use your credit card. Oh, girl, get them shoes. Oh, and you know you need to get that outfit to go with it. You got enough money on your credit card. Go on and get them shoes. Get that outfit. You know you need it for the 4th of July. You know you need it for Mother's Day. You know you need it for Christmas. Just make it a present to yourself. And before long, you are in all kind of debt from listening to that little boy say, oh, go on and get this. Go on and get that. You can put it on your credit card. And we wonder why America, so many are in debt, because they listen to that spontaneous little voice saying to get something that you really don't need. I'm personally on a fast from clothing and shoe buying. And, of course, every time I turn on my phone, something's popping up from Macy's or from Zoe or from, you know, this group or that group. Oh, you know you need these shoes. No, I don't. I don't need another stitch of clothing, and I don't need another pair of shoes. God knows. And, you know, then, cause then you go looking in your closet, and you're like, oh, I didn't know I had those shoes. Oh, I didn't know I had that dress. And then you have to say, Lord, let me be able to get in it, because I'm not buying anything else. I'm on a fast. So I am on a shoe and clothes fast. And, of course, everything pops up. Ooh, cute jeans, cute shoes, comfy shoes. You know you need some more shoes for work. No, I don't. I'm good. I am good. You know, I have to say it every day. I am good. I do not need that. I don't want that. I'm not getting that, you know, and now it's like, okay, God, now you didn't put me on the fast from shoes, but you should have put me on the fast from buying gifts for other people, because now it's like, okay, God, let me back it up here, you know. So Mother's Day is coming up, so we got to buy a gift for this, and we got to get a gift for that, and, you know, going shopping, you know, with others, it's like, okay, stop, take a minute. You're being, there's a spontaneous devil said, okay, she's not buying shoes, so I get to buy some else. But luckily, you know, I had said, if I don't have it in my purse, if I don't have the cash, then I ain't getting it. I'm not getting it. And that's where I am now. If I don't have the money to pay for it, I'm not getting it. You know, me and credit cards have separated. We are no longer a couple. Thank you very much. You know, and then it goes here and says, King Saul lost his throne because he acted hastily. The prophet Samuel told him to wait. Come on now. I say wait on the Lord. Isn't that what it says? To wait. He told him to wait 7 days. And he, Saul, did not understand. It was a test. Not pass it. He said, 7 days of Gilgal till I come to you and show you what you should do. 7 days, Samuel still hadn't arrived with a hostile Philistine army pressing on him. Saul decided to take matters into his own hands, and he prepared burnt offerings to invoke the Lord's favor. As soon as he completed the offering, Samuel appeared. Saul offered some lame excuse, but his rashness disqualified him for a long and peaceful reign. Getting ahead of God is a terrible mistake with hasteful consequences. On the other hand, Nehemiah, cupbearer to the king Xerxes, patiently waited for God's timing with glorious results. He fasted and prayed for many days, waited for the right time to bring his concern before the king. Rather than dash into action, Nehemiah waited before God. In fact, he beseeched the Lord for a period of 4 months, until one day the king himself asked Nehemiah why he seemed so downcast. Nehemiah explained the situation, and within days to Jerusalem with all the necessary authority and building materials. Nehemiah waited until God put all the particulars in place, and then he moved. We should do this thing. We got to wait on the Lord, because again, what is hidden will be revealed. Nehemiah, what was hidden was revealed, that he was feeling his people. He was feeling the destruction of Jerusalem. He was feeling it all. You know, Samuel looked at Saul. Again, he looked at the outside and saw king hiding. And this is what it says. There he is, hidden among the equipment. 1 Samuel 10:22. Saul knew that God had chosen him to be king, and yet he tried to avoid God's will by running away. Throughout his rule, he let fear keep him from obeying God, and in the end, it cost him everything. Hiding from the Lord. We can't hide from God. And then it says, how can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no presents. Verse 27 of chapter 10. God's will looks neither impressive nor reasonable to some people. Yet God does not require us to understand his will. Just obey it, even if it seems unreasonable. You know, folks want to try to put themselves in the place of God. What God is doing is none of our business. All we got to do is follow. And it says this, God's will looks neither impressive nor reasonable to some people. And it doesn't have to. Because, again, it's not about you. It's about him. And as we go into chapter 11, it says, and Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh, Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. And Nahash, the Ammonite, answered them, on this condition, I will make a covenant with you that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel. Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, hold on for 7 days, that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you. So the messengers came to Geba of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field, and Saul said, what troubles the people that they weep? And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them and visited, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers who came, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is high, you shall have help. Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you. So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, who is he who said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. For Saul said, not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Wow. And this is what it says in verse 13. The Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. When Saul honored the Lord and put him first, he enjoyed a successful and prosperous rule. In fact, Saul did great things for God. When the Spirit of God empowered him and directed him, God can use us to do mighty things when we choose to be filled with his Spirit, Ephesians 5 and 18. However, when Saul allowed his eyes to drift, he began to slip and steep decline. We got to follow God, and remember, what is hidden will be revealed. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning, people of God. I'm reading Psalms 55, 16, and 23. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me, evening and morning and at noon. I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there was many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from old, Selah, pause and think about it. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. For there was many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old, because they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him, broken his covenant. Words of his mouth were smoother than butter. The water was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, if they were drawn swords. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved, because you, O Lord, you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty, deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And today's lesson was what was hidden will be revealed. All right, you think about Adam and Eve, how they hid from God because of their sin. A lot of times we are afraid to see God when we sin. We hide. But what was hidden will always be revealed. You can't hide from God. God is all-powerful. He sees everything. Everything you do that's good or bad, God will see it. So, I mean, it's foolishness to hide from God. We can't. And it says God's will be done. His will be done in your life if you obey God. And just like Jesus, when he was in the, when he prayed, he said, God, not my will, but let your will be done. And Jesus prayed three different times. He said the same thing over and over. God, not my will, not what I want, but let your will be done. So what was hidden will be revealed. I mean, Adam and Eve, and God said, where are you? They said, we were afraid. And the only time you get afraid of God is when you do something wrong. But if you will confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of all sins and to restore you. Said a good man, a righteous man, they fall down seven times, but you got to get back up. You can't let the devil deceive you and make you want to commit suicide or stay down. Can't do that. You got to get back up. Proverbs 15, 18, and 20. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Wise son makes the father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. He said, when you're being foolish and your parents don't raise you the right way, you despise your mother. Luke 22:24-46. Now, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. He said to them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For those is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves. Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. Jesus said he came to serve us, and he did. Just like at the Lord's Supper, he began to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, Lord, not so. You will not wash my feet. You are the Lord. You're the king. You're not going to wash my feet. And he told him, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part in this ministry. You don't have no part of me. And Peter said, not only my feet, my head, my arms, everything, Lord, I love you. Because Peter really didn't understand that God said, we come to serve. We're nothing but servants of the Most High God. A person that wants to be exalted, they must humble themselves. They must humble themselves. Like Moses said, he was the most humblest person in the world. But you do you can't act like you so much better than other people. Oh, I got money. I'm great. Cassius Clay, the boxer, I'm the greatest. I am the greatest. I mean, he was a good boxer, true enough. But the only greatest, and that's Jesus, our Lord. He's God. He's the greatest. He's perfect. No other person, no other man. You don't bow down to man, images. Nobody in the whole world is the greatest but our Lord. He said, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit at my thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you, they should not fail. When you return to me, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to die. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. He said to him, when I send you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. He said to them, but now he who has the money bag, let him take it. Likewise, the knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment, buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords, said to them. It is enough. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him, came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's sword, knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed honestly. When his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground, when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow, said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter temptation. You know, a lot of times, we don't know what's in us. Simon Peter said, Lord, I'll die. I'll die before I deny you. I wouldn't do something like that. You know I love you. I'm not going to deny you. We don't even know ourselves. We don't know what's really in us. The spirit is willing, flesh is weak. And that's a true statement. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And God told him, oh boy, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before that old rooster crow. He said, no, God, I won't do something like that. But if God tell you you're going to do something, you're going to do it. You might not want to do it. You might fight not want to do it. But if God says that you're going to do it, in the end, you're going to do it. That's just like with me. In 4 months, I'll be 80 years old. God called me in Los Angeles, California at an early age to teach and to be a minister. And I said, I ain't nothing to do in that. Vegas is close by. I have other things I want to do, and I'm not concerned. I don't want to do that, and I didn't do it for years and years and years. Pastor Jesse was teaching the message, Who Will Go for God? And even here in Springfield, I was asleep, heard somebody knocking at the door. I got up running to the door thinking it was Janice, my sister, and it was God calling again, but my answer was no. A lot of times when God calls you to do something, he allows you to say no, but you have to be careful about that because you might not live long enough. You might not live. He allowed me to live until I answered the call on my life. Because most of my family people, the females, even Timothy has been called, Chase has been called. You know, we don't do a lot of talking. Jan don't do a lot of talking. Angeline, my other sister, she talks. Rita don't do a lot of talking. We talk within a mom ourselves. But all of us have began to answer the call of God on our lives. I mean, you will do it, and then you're thankful. Most people, when they walk with God, oh, God, why didn't I do this years ago? Why didn't I answer the call of God on my life? I wish I had, because it's easier to walk with God. It's easier to do good than to do evil. You prosper when you walk with God. You feel happier. You don't have hangovers. Your body feels better, and you wake up refreshed, and you thank God. You thank God that you can see sunlight. You thank God that you can walk. A lot of times when you look at the suffering of other people and see that they're going through something, you got so much to be thankful for. God allows you another day to wake up in your right mind, to get in your car,
Amen.
To talk to people, to smile, to go to your job, no matter what you are going through. It makes you just want to jump up and down that you are still here. Like I hear my sister Janice, she had wanted to die. She said, you know, I'm going to stop saying that. I'm going to stop it. She said, because I'm still here. And Sister Pittman is another one. She said, I'm still here. So if you're still here, you must have a purpose for being here. A lot of times when we are sick or going through stuff, like my baby sister Rita, my God, I admire both women, especially my baby sister Rita, because she's been sick for 11 years. And when you call her, she don't talk about her sickness. She inspires you. She talk about the goodness of God. And when you see a person that's parallel with MS, and they sit up there talking about the goodness of God, you say, are they crazy? No, they're not crazy. They know that they're going through and that God can end this. They said, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer. And when you speak to her, I remember Pastor Bridget went to see her, and Pastor was anxious to see Rita. Rita was anxious to see her, and Rita was of good cheer. I admire people that are going through the yet and still, like with Jesus and the suffering that he went through. When you see sick people, people without a leg, like Lane's husband, and they get up and testify about the goodness of God, and you looking at them in the flesh, well, what do they have to be happy about? But they are. And Rita is always happy. She's talking about the goodness of God, her husband, Randy, and her children, how good they are to her. They take care of Rita. I mean, if Rita had been put in a nursing home, Rita would have been dead a long time ago. But her husband is right there with her, her son, Randy, and Red, and Kim, and all of them are taking care of Mom. When you have good children, then you know that's in the Bible. So when you get old, kids are supposed to take care of the old. A lot of times kids don't do it. They just put you right on into that nursing home to throw you away. But to see that family sticking together, taking care of Mom day by day, because if she had been put in a nursing home, she wouldn't be here. And, you ask Pastor Bridget, it's a lot to take care of a sick person. She goes to work all the time. Taking care of sick people. That's her job. And that's her what she needs for a living.
It's my calling. It's a calling. And we have to all walk in that calling. You know, and I love your life lessons, Mother, if you don't mind reading them. Because, you know, the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus is our strength. He and Father God, our Redeemer, they God gives us strength. Jesus redeemed us from our sins with his life. And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, sometimes you're just tired. I've been up since early this morning. And I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, I'm getting sleepy. Then I remember looking at the word. It says, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I was like, ooh, let me wake up. I've had to set up a little straighter because the enemy, he will try to ease in and make you tired. You know you got stuff to do for the Lord, and we got to be very careful because that's what he does. He tries to knock you off your square when you least expect it. You know, but understand, God will show you, again, what's hidden will come and be revealed. It always is. You know, always. But Mother, I'm going to give it back over to you because we do have a word from Sister Carolyn and our time is getting close.
Okay, it says, Life Lessons, Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. When Peter denied Jesus three times, Satan was invisibly working behind the scenes to encourage his spiritual failure. We must always remain on the alert to detect the activity of our adversary. You know what they say? They say the devil is on his job. Oh, he's on his job. He's on his job 24/7. The devil don't sleep. He's on his job. So we must be about the Father's business. Like I said before, Simon, he didn't know what was in him. He didn't know that he would deny the Lord three different times. And that's why God asked him, Simon, Simon, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Simon, Simon, do you love me? And then Simon said, Lord, you've asked me that three different times. You know that I love you. He denied the Lord three different times. So God asked him three different times, Simon, do you love me? We love the Lord. The Spirit is willing, flesh is weak. And a lot of times we don't know ourselves. Bible says know yourself, but a lot of times you don't know what's in you. You think you're going to pass the test, and you're going to have that test over and over again until you pass it. You don't know what's in you. Luke 22:43, angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthened him. During Jesus' most difficult hour, when he had to make the final decision to accept his Father's will, march to the cross, God sent him angel help to encourage him. He will always give us just what we need. And you know, that's totally amazing. My nephew, Chase, called me yesterday, and I wasn't going to answer the call, but then I answered the call, and he said, well, Auntie, I just wanted to talk to you. That was yesterday. He said, I haven't talked to you for a while, so I just called to talk to you. Now, he didn't know what was going on in my life. I have a bed, a blow-up bed in the bedroom, and one of them mattresses that you blow up. And I was telling Chase, I said, Chase, I was in the bedroom sleep, and the mattress just went all the way down, and I had him laughing. I said, the mattress just sunk down to the box spring, and you should see me fighting, trying to get up out of the bed. So he was laughing. He said, Auntie. No, I told him, I said, well, Chase, I'm getting ready to go buy me a blow-up mattress. They don't cost me more than $80 or $90. I said, this very day, I'm on my way to Walmart. I will not sleep on that mattress another day. He said, God gives us just what we need. He gave me Chase. Chase said, Auntie, don't you dare buy nothing. I'll be right over. He said, I know what you need. I know how to fix that mattress. I can patch that. He said, I'll be right over. He said, because my mattress had a deep hole in it, and the Lord showed me what to do. Chase came right over. I got so tickled. He put something here, something there, and he patched up the mattress. And the mattress, you know, I had been blowing up the mattress. Each time I go to the bathroom, the mattress go down, I blow it back up, and I had him laughing. But when he come over, he patched the mattress. I slept last night. and the mattress did not go down. God gives you exactly what you need. And Chase, you know what Chase said? He said, Auntie, this was divine. He said, God knew what you needed, and he sent me, made me call you and come over, because Chase lives in Decatur. He said, you were on my mind. I decided to give you a call. I said, wow, God intervened, saved me money. I didn't have to go buy no mattress. Chase come over here and fix everything that I needed in this apartment. He gives you exactly what you need. I have a ring that I didn't want to throw away. And Kathy said, go ahead and throw the ring away and buy another one. I did buy another one, but I didn't want to throw the ring away. Chase come over here. He fixed the ring. He fixed the bed. He fixed everything that I need fixing around the apartment. God gives you exactly what you need, turning it back over to the pastor.
Amen. What was hidden will be revealed. You needed a mattress fixed, and God revealed it to Chase that he needed to call you. Look at God. Won't he do it? And then as you spoke. Yes, he will. As you spoke, I was listening to what you were saying, and then I went to Sister Carolyn's word for today. And her word for today is this. Good morning for every blessing. There's a testimony. All up in the business. Have every like she is every day. For every blessing, there's a testimony. You just gave your testimony from the blessing that God gave you of getting your mattress fixed, getting your ring fixed. God's sending somebody that you love like he's your grandson, because he is in every respect, that he just came over to help you. Look at God. Won't he do it? For every blessing, there's a testimony. Thank you for the testimony. And then Sister Carolyn tells us, and we tell all of ourselves, we tell each other, have a thankful Thursday. We got to give God thanks. Every day I wake up and I tell God, Lord God, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed. You woke me up this morning. I'm grateful that you saved my soul. I'm blessed to be called your daughter. We got to have a thankful, grateful, and blessed in our hearts. So let's have a thankful Thursday. And before we get out of here, a great word, Mother. Thank you so much. If there is anybody that God has given a word to that would like to speak, now's the time to push that button, number one, or call 213-943-3597 and give a word. Lift your hand. Just say, thank you, Lord. And, you know, I'm sure all are thanking God from their homes, from their beds, from wherever you may be in their cards. I thank you for listening in to Mother Valerie and I. Join us again tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. We will be in Old Testament Friday. And so we are going to be looking at the Word of God, and it may do it differently. I don't know how God's going to give it to us, but we will have a word for you tomorrow. 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. As we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours as we pray over each other. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap. Why? Because this girl has got to go to work. I love you all. I thank God for you. Mother, I love you. Thank God for you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Thanks for getting up with me at 6 a.m. as we discuss what we're doing. Thank you so much. Thank you all. Have a great day, family. Enjoy your beautiful day. But God gave it to you. Don't throw it away. Have a great day. It's all right. Mother, it's
you know what, Pastor? That accident that happened, in all my just about 80 years, I have never seen anything like that. And I know we're praying for the people that left and the people that are still here, but I've never seen an accident like that. The cars were totally, totally demolished. That was one of the most horrible accidents I ever seen in my life. Approximately 100 cars involved, trucks. I've never seen anything like that. And I thank and praise God that he was with the people that was left behind and the people that were gone, that they went to him. I pray that they went to him and that they will live again. That was
Amen.
Horrible. So, you know, it is a wrap. I have to go back to bed, and she's got to go
to work. To work. I'll see you tonight, it's Mother. A have a great day. Have a great day, family. Thank you for joining us, because we will laugh, and we will have a good time in the Word of God, because I get excited, Mother. I'm getting giddy again for Jesus. I've always never stopped
Amen.
Giddy, but I'm just giddy to have you with me. So thank you so
drunk
much. Be blessed, family. Have a
you
great
drunk
day.
In the Word.
It is what?
Drunk
one more
in
time,
the Word.
Mother. We drunk in the
it's
Word.
It's a wrap.
What is it today, Mother? It's a wrap.
It's
love
a wrap.
Y'all.
A wrap.